I think it's about 8:30 now. Can people hear me?
8 o'clock.
Yeah. We can hear you, yes.
We can hear. We can hear.
Very good. Okay. Good evening, everybody. Shalom Aleichem. Tonight's shiur is dedicated to Zecher Nishmas, Rabbi Chai Arbisfeld, who just passed away 2 years ago from the COVID. He was one of the early victims. He was one of the main founder of this year so many years ago. He was one of the main organizers of this year. So we dedicated this year to Zecher Nishmas Rav Chaim v'Rav Avraham Arbisfeld. The Mishnah presents a machlekes hatanoim in Psochem, in the second parak in Psochem. How does one fulfill the mitzvah of Tashbisu? Rav Yudah's opinion is ain't b'yachomet zala b'sreifa. And the Chachamim disagree that hashbasasa b'chol dover. You can be mefar b'zor l'ruach amata layam. Anywhere you want to destroy the chametz is okay. The question is, how do we paskin l'halocha? So the common practice is that everybody burns the chametz, that we know. The pashto should be that it's machlek is yochid v'rabim. So yochid v'rabim, halocha k'rabim. The din should be like the Chachamim, that hashbasasa b'chol dover, which raises an objection. Why are we doing Sreifa? Because there is a Mishnah in the end of Temurah. The Mishnah gives you a list of various Yisuri Hanor, and they're divided into two groups. Some of them are Nisrafim, and some of them are Nigbarim. Some of them you have to burn, let's say, Pigal Noisa Tomi. It says in Chumash, Saraftas HaNoisa Baish. You have to burn the Noisa, and the Gemara learns that Pigal Noisa Tomi, you have to burn the mitzvah to burn it. The Gemara learns out from the Pasuk that it's a mitzvah to burn Orla. How do we know that? The Pasuk says you have to be careful not to allow Kloy HaKerem to grow in your vineyard. Pentugdash Hamleya Zera Shatizra Tvuas HaKerem. So the Gemara has a drasha, the Torah Shabbat Peh has a drasha, Pentugdash, Pentukaresh. The simple pshat tugdash means that it'll become asabano, asabachilo, asabano. But the Gemara has an additional level of interpretation. That's the Torah Shabbat Peh interprets pentukareish, that if you have kaloy hakerem, not only is it asabachilo, asabano, it's ton sreifa. Where is there a pasuk by Orla? So Rashi and Tosfos right there, the end, and the very, it's the last omid base in Temurah. Temurah ends on an omid aleph, so this is the last omid base. There's a Mishnah that gives you the list of all of the Nisrafim and Nigbarim. Nigbarim are those that are asabana that you have to dispose of. You're not allowed to leave it around the house. Mishum chashash takola. You may forget that it's asabana, and you may use it, or you may eat it, or you may sell it. So that's, you're not allowed to leave it around the house, but you have to dispose of it. So that's called Nigbarim. It's not dafka Nigbarim. You have to dispose of it somehow. So the Mishnah says, HaNisrafim lo yikavru. So Rashi and Tosfos right over there, they don't know what the mocker is. How did the Tanoim know that Orla is also the Sreifa? They just know the Pasuk says Pentuk, Pentukdash, Pentukadesh by Kloy HaKerem. And somehow the Gemara always puts together Orla and Kloy HaKerem. There must be some Yalfusa linking, must be a Limud somewhere or another that links together Orla with Kloy HaKerem. So the Pasuk by Kloy HaKerem carries over to Orla. So the Mishnah says, HaNisrafim lo yikavru. If there's a mitzvah to burn it, then if you're going to bury it, so you're not in fulfillment of the mitzvah, you didn't become the mitzvah. And then it says also, HaNikbarim lo yisarfu. If you have something that's also banoa, you're not mechuyev to burn it, so it's improper to burn it. Why is it improper to burn it? You did a mitzvah min hamufchar. You weren't satisfied just by burying it somewhere. You burnt it, so what's so bad about that? So the Mefarshim explained, because the Mishnah says also, all of the Nisrafim, HaNisrafim Afra Mutter. If you have Pigal Nisra Tomei and you burn it, then the ashes will be Mutter. The Gemara says, why? Because we have a tradition, Ein L'chadovish and Asas Mitzvasai, Umayal Imbo. If you already did the mitzvah that you're supposed to do, it does make sense to say that it's still Osa Bahano. So, if you're going to take nigbarim, something that's not ton sreifa, you're going to burn it. So the person, the onlooker may think, oh, if it, they'll think it's from the nisrafim, And then it's Rafa and Afra Mutta. And it's not Afra Mutta. So that's why Bidavka Hanigbarim Lo Yisorfu. Hanisrafim Lo Yikovru, you shouldn't bury it, because you won't be Mekayim the Mitzvah, you'll be Mevatla Mitzvah Sreifa. But what's wrong with Hanigbarim? Why is Lo Yisorfu? So the reason why, because you may think that it's the ashes, Amutta Banon, it's not, so that's why you shouldn't burn it. So that's a problem that Magen Avraham raises, that issue. Why is the common practice that we burn the chametz if we paskin yochet verabim halacha kerabim, and we paskin like the chachamim that chametz kodem ha-pesach is not bisreifa, it's hashbasasa b'chol davar, af mefarav v'zara la'ruach, amata la'yam, as long as you destroy it in some form or another, so how are you permitted to do sreifa? Someone will think the yesh is amuta. That's the Magen Avraham's kashya. Rabbi Akiva Eide there, and that Magen Avraham, Rabbi Kivege has a oris on the Orachaim. So Rabbi Kivege there, Taki asks a bigger kashya, that Tosfos comments on the Gemara, the first Amud Beis in the second Perek, Perek Kol Shoh. Perek Kol Shoh begins on the Amud Aleph. So in the first Amud Beis, and in the second Perek of Pesachim, the Tosfos interprets in the Gemara that there's a major difference between a Yud and a Rabbanon regarding chametz. If the din is like Rabbi Yud, that ain't be a chametz ala b'sreifa, then aframuta, because kol anisrafim aframuta. But if you're going to paskan like the chachanim, that hashbasasa b'chol dover, that means that it's really ben hanik barim, there's no mitzvah to burn it, then the eshes will be awesome, afram will be awesome. So Rabbi Kivegir asks why he doesn't understand. The reason why Hanisraf and Afram Mutter is because then Luchadavish and Asis Mitzvah say, Umbayelim boy, once you did the mitzvah, there's no reason that it should be Asabah Noam. So even if you hold like the Chachamim Hashbasasa Bechaldav, so you did the mitzvah. They both agree, Rabbi Yud and Rabbanan, they both agree that there is a mitzvah of Tashbisa. It's a passing of Chumash. Ach Beyom Harishan Tashbisa Sar Mi Batechem. And the Gemara explains that the word Yom HaRishon does mean the first day Pesach. He can't wait till the first day Pesach to burn the chametz. There'll be a violation of Bal Yeruah until you burn the chametz. And Sreifas chametz is a malacha, matzina lahavar shiha malacha, so you can't wait till the first day Pesach. The Gemara interprets in the first parak, in the beginning of Pesach, the Gemara interprets that in biblical Hebrew, the word Rishon and Achron don't always mean first and last. Sometimes Rishon means prior to, and Achron means ladder. And the Taisis Yantav has Psukim and Chumash. Arishan la Adam Tivolik, were you born before Adam Arishan? Arishan there doesn't mean were you born the first. Were you born before Adam Arishan? A Pasuk in Eyov. And Achrenim Leah v'yaldeh Achrenim v'rachal v'yaldeh Achrenim. It says Achrenim by Leah. When Yaakov Avinu was approaching Esav, the beginning of Parshas Vayishlach. So it says, he divided them into different machnas. So the first machna was the Shvachas, Leah v'yaldeha acharonim, v'rachel v'yaldeha acharonim. So if Rachel is the last one, why say Leah v'yaldeha acharonim? So acharonim means after the first, latter. Rishonim sometimes means prior, and acharonim sometimes means latter. So here, ach v'yamarish and tashbis means you have to destroy the chametz prior to the day before Pesach, on Erev Pesach. If Erev Pesach aliyas to Shabbos, you can't burn the chametz on Shabbos. So the din should really be hashbasasa b'chol dover, if we pass on like nachachamim. But that's summer of the opinion that that's a malacha mederabbanan. If you moilid, the gist of what of the lametes malachas is that you're doing creative activity. So there's, in addition to the lametes malachas benater, there's another malacha molid, not to be confused with muktzah of nolad. Nolad is a different thing, and molid is a different thing. Rashi interprets on a Gemara in Masechah Shabbos. All year long we're learning the Malachas. So the Gemara says you're not allowed to take snow and crush it in your hand. So the Rambam learns that because it looks like schita, looks like you're squeezing out juice from an orange. Jeez. You're taking the snow and you're melting it, crushing it. And Rashi doesn't learn like that. Shulchan Aruch, it's like the Rambam. Shulchan Aruch puts the din of crushing snow and crushing ice in your hands together with the din of schita. And Rashi does not learn like that. Rashi interprets that it's also because of moilet. You're making it into a new form. Before it was a solid, now you make it into a liquid. You're not allowed to make a davar chadash, mole davar chadash. So then it says in the Shulchan Aruch, you're not allowed to create and you're not allowed to destroy. Nothing can be created nor destroyed. You can just change it from one form to the other. But there's a anisa midrabanan, you're not allowed to destroy anything. That's why Lamashal Rashi's opinion is that if you have truma tameya, you're permitted to feed it to a behemoth kohen. Tosis doesn't agree with Rashi. Tosis thinks you have to dafka do sreifa. But Rashi's opinion is that you can feed it to behemoth kohen, but you're not allowed to feed it to behemoth kohen on Shabbos Yonta midrabanan, because what's the malacha? It's a malacha of destroying. You're not allowed, since that's the mitzvah to destroy the truma tameya. So when you give food to an animal, that's not a malacha, you're feeding an animal. But if you're giving the animal truma tmeya that's supposed to be destroyed, when the animal eats it, we label that as an act of destroying. So just like you're not allowed to create anything on Shabbos Molad, so you're not allowed to destroy anything either. So that's why from the Rambam it might appear like that. That's what a few Gedolei Achronim, Rav Soloveitchik, Jesus say like that. They say in the Smicha Bechinas, when the Rav and Rav Moshe Shatzkis, and Dr. Belkin used to give the Bechinas, so the Rav would sometimes ask if it was a Pesach Shacholias B'Shabbos, so he would ask one of the questions if that year would be Pesach Shacholias B'Shabbos, so he would ask, how do you destroy the Chametz on Shabbos? What do you do? So some of the Talmidim would say, you flush it down the toilet, because the din is hashbisasa b'choldover. Rav Soloveitchik had this whole shiur. Others have the same. Rabbi Breuer printed the same idea as well, and shot in the Rambam, Rabbi Breuer from the neighborhood here, that you're not allowed to destroy, so you're not allowed to flush it down the toilet, because that's an act of hashbasa. You're not allowed to do hashbasa, mid the Rabbanim, you're not allowed. So mid the Rabbanim, they said, you shouldn't destroy it on Shabbos, burn the chametz. Destroy the chametz on Erev Shabbos. So again, Rabbi Kiveger is bothered with Akasha, if we have a klal, en chadavish and asis mitzvasai, a ma'ilin boy, so whether you hold like Rabbi Yudah, that ain't be a chametz out of the shreif, or you hold like the chachamim, either way, when you destroy the chametz, one way or another, either by flushing down the toilet, you destroy it, or you destroy it by burning it, you fulfill the mitzvah. So why does Tosfos say that the ashes are only mutter? If you hold like Rabbi Yudah, ain't be a chametz ala b'sreifa. But if you hold like the chacham, the ashes will be also. Why? If you destroyed it, then it should become mutter. In l'chadav shenasim mitzvah, so imoyalim boy. That's Rabbi Kiveger's kashi. Doesn't have a teretz. Why? Tosfos interprets that that's pshat in the Gemara and the first Amid base and the second perek in Pesachim. So Rabbi Kiveger asks why. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik has in his Sefer on the Rambam an answer, but it's not well written. He doesn't fully explain it. The answer should go as follows. You look in the Rambam, both in Pirush HaMishnayis in the end of Masechus Tmura, as well as in the Mishnah Tur, when the Rambam writes that din, that Pigol Noisa Tomei of Israfa, and Kolan Nisrafen Afra Mutter. So the Rambam writes, Kol HaNisrafim Shal Hegdush, Afra Mutter. The Rambam doesn't agree with Tosfos. Tosfos says that if you burn Orla Klei HaKerem, the ashes will be Mutter. The Rambam seems to hold not so. The Rambam holds it's only a din by Hegdush. HaNisrafim Shal Hegdush, Afra Mutter. Why? That's the Lashon HaGemara. Ein L'chodovish HaNasis Mitzvasei Umayalim Boi. The Gemara is talking about Me'ila. Me'ila is in Hegdush. Hegdush is also Ba'ana because it's Umid L'mitzvasei. The Gemara says on the first daf in Me'ila, Kach Misha Meisu, Yotze Midei Me'ila. If I have a korban and it drops dead, so if I have a korban that becomes a balmum, so it's no longer Oemid L'Hakrove, it's Oemid L'Pidyon. So it's still Oemid L'Mitzvasa. But Kach Misha Meisu, if the korban drops dead, so then you need Hamad of Arocha, you can't be paided if it's dead. So it's no longer Oemid to do any mitzvah with it. So whenever you have kach and shemesa, yotze midei meal, because it's no longer oimid l'mitzvasa. So that's why if you have, let's say you burnt chelev on the mizbech, you burnt the carbon oil, you burnt the whole carbon oil on the mizbech and turned into ashes. So would you say the ashes are mutas? So the Gemara says no. In the ila, the Gemara says the ashes are still oimid l'mitzvasa, because every morning you have to do trumas hadeshen. Atzoas Hadeshen, when there's too much ashes, that such a gigantic pile on the Mizbeach, a big tapuach, the Gemara calls it like a big apple, a big tapuach, a big pile of ashes, it's too much, that's not a mitzvah. they'll just, you have to get the ashes off the mizbech. There's no room to put karbonis there. But the daily mitzvah of Trumas Hadeshen, every single morning, once a day, every day, you have to remove Trumas Hadeshen, a little bit of the ashes, and put it on the floor. A miracle used to occur every day, and the ashes would be nivla bimkomo. So the Gemara understands, why do we call it Veherimes Hadeshen, Trumas Hadeshen? It's, in a certain sense, it's like Truman. When you have Tevel, Peres that grew in Eretz Yisrael, you have to be Mafresh Trumas and Maestris. So when you Mafresh Truman, not only does this little bit that I'm Mafresh become Truma, this has an effect on the, all of the Peres. You are Mafresh Truma, so the rest of the Peres are no longer Tevel. It's still Tevel because I didn't take out my Serishin yet, I didn't take out my Sesheni yet, or if it's the third or the sixth year, I didn't take out my Serani yet. But it's no longer Tevel, Atovel, the Truma Gdol. So the Hafrash is Truma, has an effect on everything. Same thing if you Mafresh Chala. All of the Isa is Tevel. When you Mafresh Chala, Chala has a Shem Truma. So that's, the Chala has an effect on the whole batch of dough, and the Isa Tevel is removed. So the Gemara understands the same is true by the Harim Sadesh and Truma Sadesh and every single day, not Hoitzoa Sadesh. Hoitzoa Sadesh is because there's no room on the Mizbech. That's not really a mitzvah. But Truma Sadesh is a mitzvah of Hafrashas Truma, and it's the mitzvah is Chal on all of the ashes on the Mizbech. When you burn the korban all night long, that's the mitzvah of haktorah. So it's nasis mitzvah soy by the emurim, by the oilo. You burn the whole korban. The nasis mitzvah soy, I did the haktorah. But it's still emid le mitzvah soy of truma sadesh. Once you do truma sadesh, then it's yotze midei nilo. Because the eshes are no longer emid le mitzvah soy. And the act of truma sadesh is chal. It's considered as if the mitzvah of Truma was chal on all of the ashes on the Mizbech. Every morning like that, when you do Truma Sadeshin, all the ashes left on the Mizbech are yotze midei me'ilo. So that's what the Gemara said, that's what the Rambam says, both in Pirush HaMishnayis in the end of Tmura, as well as in the Mishnah Torah, when the Rambam writes this din, he writes, Kol HaNisra from Shal Hegdish, Afra Muta, it doesn't apply to Orlo and to Kloya Ker, even though it's mitzosa de Sreifa. But you don't say the Afron is Mutta. So the according to the Rambam, the Rambam has to learn the Gemara differently. Even if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, the day Biyachom is Alabisreifa, the Yeshes will be still Asa. The Yeshes won't be Mutta. It was already Asa Bahanoah before. If you burn it before the Zman Isa Hanoah, then it's like Chomet Shechorcha Kodem Zmana and Muta Ba'anasa Lacha Zmana. It's very Nisal. If you turn it to ashes before the Zman Isa Hanoah was Chal, so the Isa Chomet's not Chal on a thing that's not Roel Achilas HaKelev. But if you waited till after the Chomet's became Asa Ba'anoah and Erev Pesach and then you burn it, it's too late. It's not going to become Muta Ba'anoah. Whether you hold like Rabbi Yehuda or hold like Rabbanan, both of them will say the ashes will be Asa. Why? The only time you have this Klal, that the Yisuri HaNoah are only Asamana because Oymed the Mitzvah, that's by Kutchim. It's not by Orla Klal, Kerem is also by Noah, period. Not because Oymed the Mitzvah, even if there wouldn't be any Mitzvah. It's also by Noah. Basa B'cholib is also by Noah. It's not Oymed the Mitzvah. Korbanis, Kutchim, only has a Dinah Me'ila, only has the Yisur HaNoah if it's Oymed the Mitzvah. So that's why the first Daf in Mila says Kutchim Shemesu. If the korban dies in it, you can't be paid it, so it's no longer oimed lemitzvasai. Or if you have figal noisei tami, you burned it, so it's no longer oimed lemitzvasai. I did all the mitzvahs that I'm supposed to do. Ein l'chadova shenasis mitzvasai moelim bosa. The Rambam has in Gansan a different sheet. The Rambam holds that this din of nasis mitzvasai, that there's no me'ila, is restricted only to kachim where the whole isa are known. The first place is because you mevatelet mitzvasai. Even if later on you're going to do, let's say I have a korban, kachi kachim. There's only me'il and kachi kachim. Kachi Hashem, kachim ham yuchadim lashem, kachim kalim. The Gemara learns that from the psukim and the mishnayis and masechs. Me'ila say, there's no din of me'il and kachim kalim, only on kachi kachim. That happens to be a big machlekes in Rishonim, the Rashbo, the end of the second parak in Kiddushin, has a major machlekes in Rishonim, whether when you say by kachim kalim, there's no me'ila, but it says le'nenim v'le'molim. You're not allowed to get hanoah from the kachim kalim, but if you did get hanoah, there's no penalty. You don't have to pay kerem chemish. You don't have to bring hasham me'ilos. So the Rashbo has a machlekes harishayim that din le'nenim, that you're not allowed to get hanoah from Kotchim Kalam, is that an Isa Deraisa, is that an Isa Derabonim? Rab Soloveitchik used to say that he heard from his grandfather, Rab Chaim, that it's inconceivable that it should only be an Isa Derabonim. It can't be. He said, for sure it's an Isa Deraisa, and Leimoyelim just means the penalty of Me'ila doesn't apply. You don't have to pay Chaimish, you have to bring Asham Me'ilas, but the Isa Hano is certainly an Isa Deraisa. But even though Rab Chaim said it's inconceivable, but it's a Rashbo has a machlokes Rishonim. Half of the Rishonim hold that the whole Issa is only the Rabbanan. Many of the Mishnayos, in fact, most of the Mishnayos there in the Ila, where it has such an expression, most of the cases, the low nanim is only made the Rabbanan. So by context, because it's Kachim Kalim is probably similar to all the others, probably also many Rishonim hold that it's only low nanim made the Rabbanan. So Tosfos in Psachim raises the possibility that we should really paskin like Rabbi Yehuda over here, that ein biyachametz ela b'sreifa. Why? What's that? This usually have a klal yochid v'rabim halacha kerabim. So why should Tosfos want to paskin like Rabbi Yehuda? They say because halacha kestam mishnah, and they have quite a few mishnayos. It says sor from tchila sheish. It always talks about burning the chametz. So the simple Mishnah seems to indicate halachic Rabbi Yehuda. There's a minority of Rishonim hold that the din is like Rabbi Yehuda. So that's why the practice is that we do Sreifa. And we don't fully understand Nikbarim lo yisarfu. Why is that? So the Rishonim said because people will think that the Esh is Amuta. That's the reason why. But if you say like the Rambam, it's only Nisrafim Shal Hegdish. So Orla, Kleak, Kerem, Eshes will be Osir also. It's not going to be Mutta. So the Rama must have a different sheet than this. Must have a different beer. In Hilchas Tfilah, there is a din that if a person forgot to daven Mincha, B'Shegeg, so he davens Ma'ariv, says the Shmona Esrei Ma'ariv twice. The first Shmoneh Esrei he says for Ma'ariv, and the second one is Tashlomen for the Mincha that he missed. If he missed Ma'ariv, then he davens the Shmoneh Esrei of Shachris twice, the first one for Shachris, and the second one is for Tashlomen for Ma'ariv, and so on. There's a din of Tashlomen. What if he violated, what if he didn't daven B'mezid? So we assume with Shulchan Aruch and the Gemara that there's no Tashlomen for Mezid, it's only Tashlomen for Shogeg. So the Achronim on the tour have a machlokes, what if he was Onus? What if he was mamish in the intensive care unit and it had pipes in his nose and his mouth and it wasn't shayach, he wasn't conscious. He was sick for a couple of days. So does he have tashlum? And if he was onus, maybe I should say onus rachmana patre. So that's a machloikis achrein. So Yosef Engel writes in one of his svarim, what's the machloikis? How do you understand onus rachmana patre? The Torah patters you from the chiyuvim. You're not mechuyev to do the mitzvah, or the Torah patters you from the oynish. You're not going to be punished, but you're not potter from the chiyuv. You're still mechuyev. If you are mechuyev and you didn't daven, then you do tashlumin. If you're not mechuyev at all, if you say oynish rachmana patri potter from the chiyuv legamrei, so there's not shayach to have tashlumin. You only make tashlumin if the person was mechuyev originally. But if he was mechuyev originally, not. That's what the Gemara has a machlokes with the Pesach Sheni. How do you understand Pesach Sheni? Pesach Sheni is Tashlumin, but Pesach Rishon, whoever was Mechuyev and wasn't able and didn't fulfill a mitzvah for some reason or another, Tomei B'derech Rechayka, so he has an opportunity to do Tashlumin on Pesach Sheni? Or should I say, no, it's not a din of Tashlumin, it's a regel b'fnei atzmo. Whoever didn't bring Pesach Rishon should bring Pesach Sheni, it's not a din of Tashlumin. Am I not Kamina? Whether it's Tashlumin or not, Machlekes is Rebbe or Reb Nosson, Machlekes HaTanoim. The Gemara says, Nafkamina, for a Gershon is Garb in Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni. A Pesach Rishon, he wasn't even Jewish. So he wasn't Mechuyev at all. He wasn't Mechuyev at all. Now let's say he was a Kotna, he became Bar Mitzvah. A lot of children are going to become. Children are born every day in the year. So many children will be born between Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni. So Pesach Rishon, they were Ketanim, they weren't Mechuyev. Chinuch is only a Chiyev Medirabonim. Menatar, they weren't Mechuyev to participate in Pesach Rishon. So can they bring Pesach Sheni or not? So according to Reb Nosson, according to the Tana Reb Nosson, there's no Pesach Sheni for the Gershon Izgar Bintayim or the Kotten Shehigdal Bin Pesach Rishon Pesach Sheni. because the ger and the kot were not mechuyev on Pesach. It's not tashlumin if you weren't mechuyev. But we paskal like Rebbe that Pesach Sheni is a regel bifnei atzma. It doesn't have to be b'toras tashlumin. So even if you weren't mechuyev in the first one, it will still be tashlum. So that's a machlekes and achreinim. What's the vort of einus? If one was onus and he wasn't able to daven mincha bizmana, is he mechuyev to do tashlumin? Do we say even though he was einus? Einus achmana patra means you're pater from onshin. They won't be punished. But you were still mechuyev to daven yenid and daven so you should make tashlumin. Or should I say no? Einus achmana patra, you're pater from the chiyuv. So that's a machlekes achrenim. So Rabbi Chana Wasserman has an essay on this topic, and he points out the Mishnah says in the ninth parak, the last parak of Sochem is Arvei Pesachim, all about the Seder. So the last parak before Arvei Pesachim is Parak Misha Hayatame, has all the dinim of Pesach Sheni there. So the Mishnah says with no machlekes that if a person was honest on Pesach Rishon, let's say they put him in jail in Tel Aviv, and he couldn't come to Yerushalayim, wasn't able to come. And then they release him from jail before Pesach Sheni. So if he was anus on Pesach Rishon, it says, Beferish, you bring Pesach Sheni. And the Gemara never says that it depends on the Machlekes and Rabbi Yehuda, Rebbe and Reb Nosson, whether Pesach Sheni is Tashlum and the Rishon or not. Even if you hold like Reb Nosson, we pass him like Rebbe, that Pesach Sheni regel b'fnei atzmai, it's not a Tashlum. But it would appear from this simple reading in the Mishnah that even if you would hold like Rav Nosson, that Pesach Sheni is a Tashlum and the Rishon, and he was onus on Pesach Rishon, he still brings Pesach Sheni. Why? So either you say, onus Rachmana Patra means you're not potter from the Chiyuv, you're only potter from the Onesh. There was a Chiyuv and you didn't do it, so you have to do Tashlum. Or you'll say that onus Rachmana Patra is only if you were onus the whole time, but if you're not onus on the day of the tashlumin, so that's by definition, that's not called onus. So that's a taina. How can it be a matter? Rabbi Chana has a stark taina. How can it be a machlekes achreinim? Some achreinim hold that if the person was onus, he was in intensive care unit, he cannot make tashlumin on anything because he wasn't mechuyev. He was onus rachmana patre. How can you say that? The Mishnah says that someone who is onus on Pesach Rishon brings Pesach Sheni l'chol adeis, there never was a machlokes. They see that there is a tashlumin, even if the person was an onus on the original zman of the mitzvah. So the halacha l'maisa should be like that. That's how it should be really paskin. Yeah, this year is Yontem Shechol Yis B'Shabbos. So when we start the Seder on Leil Shabbos, we start Yom HaShishi, Ha'yer Vaydeka Yom HaShishi. And you add on all the things that are in parentheses in the Kiddush. You don't say Ma'adim L'Simcha. You say Shabbosus L'Menucha U'Ma'adim L'Simcha. V'Siyayim HaShabbos HaZeh V'Siyayim Chagamatzis HaZeh. You add on all the things in parentheses. Then you have the Ahava. So the Rishonim point out, you already said that Titan L'Ana Shem Alkeinu B'Ahava. And every Yontav you say Titan L'Ana Shem Alkeinu B'Ahava. So why do you say again, if Yontav Shechol Yis B'Shabbos, you say Yom Chagamatzis HaZeh, Zman Chavisenu, the Ahava Mikra Kodesh HaTzveikimol. Why do you say twice the Ahava? So in Shulchan Aruch, the commentaries quote the official explanation that's given by the Avudram. The Avudram is a sefer where he explains, the premise of the Avudram is that every phrase in the Tfilas is based on Psukim and Tanakh. The Tfilas and the Brachas were composed in the Biblical Hebrew. That's the premise that many Rishonim have. The Netziv has a whole essay in his commentary on the Shultas. He doesn't agree with the whole premise. He thinks the whole premise is not correct based on the Sugya by Bari Minim Zainis. The Gemara talks about why do you only say Bari Minim Zainis and Kameshis Mine Dogon, but if a person takes a netter not to eat Zainis, so anything that's Mazin is included. So why is that a kasha? B'nedarim haloch achaloshem b'yadam. Haloshem b'yadam. Mizainis means anything that gives nutrition. And in Biblical Hebrew, and maybe the brachas have to be recited in Biblical Hebrew. Maybe in Biblical Hebrew, loshem tar l'chud, loshem b'yadam l'chud. Biblical Hebrew, maybe Mizainis only refers to chameshes b'yadogen. But b'nedarim haloch achaloshem b'yadam. Haloshem b'yadam, Mizainis means everything. The Gemara doesn't distinguish, so then it seems says for that whole sugya, you see that the whole premise of the whole Sefer Avudram should be rejected. He doesn't agree with the whole thing. But many assume like that. The Taz quotes them around the Prague like that, and the Vilna Gaon. Many, many Gedolim say like that. We assume like the Abu Dram. That all the Tfilas are supposed to be in Biblical Hebrew. So that's what the Sefer Abu Dram is. So the Abu Dram has a comment over here. When Yontav Choli is B'Shabbos, why do we say twice B'Yavo? The same thing in the Shemana Esrei. On Yontav we say, Atav Chatanu, Atid Milano Shemalkenu, As Yom Chagamatzah Zazeh, how do you say in the Shemana Esrei? And you say again, B'yahavo. And you said it twice. You say a second time, B'yahavo. The same thing as in the Kiddush. The exact same text. Why do you say twice, B'yahavo? So the Abu Dram suggests like this. He says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves the Bnei Yisrael. All of the mitzvahs he gave is B'yahavo, that he loves us. But all of the mitzvahs at Har Sinai, it happened to be that it was Kaf Aleim Har Kegigis. So it wasn't, the Rabban Shalom really loves us, he gave us B'Yavo, but from our perspective, it wasn't fully B'Yavo because it was forced upon us. We didn't want to accept it. That's how the Gemara in Masechah Shabbos says, it was Kaf Aleim Har Kegigis. Except for Shabbos, because Shabbos was Nitna B'Morah, on the way to going to Har Sinai, they stopped off in Morah. So the mitzvah of Shabbos was given before Har Sinai, so that was not Kaf Aleim Har Kegigis. So that was B'Yahavo square. That was Tzvei Mol B'Yahavo. That's what the Abu Dram says. Rav Soloveitchik, when he spoke about this, why does it say twice B'Yahavo? He gave a different explanation. I don't know if he has it from some Rishonim, or it's his original, or has a tradition like that. I never found it anywhere else. He said that on Yom Tov HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us, but he told us we should bring Korbanos Musafim, and every Yontav we have to bring a Sori Lachatos. Sori Lachatos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is waving his finger at us, he loves us, but he says we sin, and we need a Kapara, we should bring a Chatos, Sori Lachatos. Except for Shabbos. On Shabbos, you bring Shnei Kvas Menishana to Mimin, you bring two Korbanos Sori, and there's no Chatos. So that's perhaps why on Shabbos we say twice the Ahavo, pure the Ahavo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't even remind us that we did Averis and that we need a Kapur. So that's our practice, that we say twice the Ahavo when it's Yom Tov Shecholias B'Shabbos. On the second night of Yom Tov this year, it's going to be Matzoi Shabbos. Yom Tov Shecholias B'Matzoi Shabbos. In Eretz Yisrael, there's only one day Yom Tov, so they don't have the second night. But in Chutz Lo'aretz, we're going to have the second day Pesach. So we're going to say Yak Nahaz. We're going to say both Kiddush and Havdalah. Kiddush because it's Yom Tov, and Havdalah because it's Matzoi Shabbos. So the in the Shemana Esrei also we say Vatodienu. On the weekdays, when it's Matzoi Shabbos and Matzoi Yom Tov, we say Atoch HaNatanu. But when it's Yom Tov, Shecholias from Matzoi Shabbos, you can't say Atoch HaNatanu, because you don't say the Brachas Hamtzoi, you don't say Atoch HaNatanu. So you say Vatodienu, that's like Atoch HaNatanu, that's the Havdalah B'Tfilah. And just like all year long, you have to say Havdalah B'Tfilah and Havdalah Lakos. So on Matzoi Shabbos, when it's Yom Tov, you also have Havdalah B'Tfilah, Vatodienu, then you have Havdalah Lakos. So in the Nusach of Vatodienu, the Nusach appears in the Gemara. So the Marsho has a comment on it. We praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Vatanchilenu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu granted us Mani Sosan Mayad Kodesh, the Chagei Nedova. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us Chagei Nedova. What did the word mean, Chagei Nedova? So the Marsho has a shtickle Harifas. Marsho has usually Chidushi Agode. He has on all the Agadate, he has a different style. So he suggests that Chagei Nedova perhaps is a reference to Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias. We have Chagim. Yom Tov that the Ribbono Shel Olam instructed us to observe, Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkos, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. Then we have Yom Tov that we volunteered on our own. Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias is not min haTorah. It's a question whether it's midrabbanan or a minig. Rashi interprets in the Gemara in the first parak in Bet, that was bizman shekid shal pi hariya. Until the days of Abai Barav, their counterparts in Abai Barav didn't have smicha, they lived in Bavel. In order to get smicha, you have to be in Eretz Yisrael. So their counterparts who lived in Eretz Yisrael still used to declare Shana Pshuta, Shana Mulberes, Rosh Chodesh, the Edom would come till the days of Abai Barov. And then during their lifetime, that's when it changed in Eretz Yisrael, and they fixed the Luach Kavua. Hillel Sheni, Abun and Nasir, they were the ones who established the Luach Kavua. So Rashi interprets in the Gemara that there's a Machlekes Amaroim, there's Macha Kitshal Pi Hariyah, and they observe Yandav Sheni Shalvolius. Was that a din derabbanan, or was that only a minhag? It was never a real sveka deraisa. That, you know, it was never a real sveka deraisa. Why not? Why wasn't it a sveka deraisa? They really didn't know when Rosh Chodesh was. It was a sveka deraisa. So the Netziv writes in his commentary on Chumash, in the Herter Dover, Parshas Emor, the Parshas Amra, the Chumash Vayikra, that he says they had the right to assume to go basa roiv, that roiv pa'amim, Adar ha-samach le-nissen only has 29 days, and Nissen has 30 days. And roiv shanim, ruba de ruba of the years, elul, lamatzina elul muba. Once every 500 years, you're going to have, elul is going to have 30 days. By us and our system, elul never has 30 days. So then it says, and in days of Tanakh, days of Ezra Nehemiah, elul had 30 days. So then it says, Mikra Adin Derasi have a right to go Basarayv and to assume that Elul only had 29 days and that Adar Asamach Lenisen, either Adar or Rada Sheni, whichever it is, only had 29 days. So the whole observance of the Haraya that they never instituted the Yantav Sheni for Yom Kippur. If it would really be a Sveka Derasi, Sveka Diyam would be a real Sveka Derasi Lom, so you would have to observe Yom Kippur. Why did they never introduce Yom Kippur? So because only the Rabbanon, they're only a minute. So the Yerushalmi says, because you'll cause a suffix sakana. You tell people that they should fast 2 days and they're also suffix sakana. So why don't they tell them they should abstain from malacha 2 days? So they won't fast for 2 days. No, we're afraid someone's going to decide to fast 2 days and it'll be bole de sakana. So if you're not dealing with a real din deraisa, so you can explain why they didn't want to introduce Yom Tov Sheni by Yom Kippur. So you see, it's clear that it's not a real sveka deraisa. So Rashi learns there was a machlokes in the Gemara whether Yom Tov Sheni before the days of Abai Barava was it only a minhag or was it a din derabbanan? The Gemara says l'may nafkamina. The Gemara has a few nafkaminas there. So one nafkamina is that you have to say havdalah in between the first day and the second day. If it's only a minhag, then the Ikar Adin, the Yantav is only 1 day, so you got to say Havdalah. But if the Yantav Sheni is a real Din, the Rabbanan, it's not just a minute, then you don't say Havdalah. We don't say Havdalah. So it's based on the Gemara, that's a problem. So the Rishonim work on that. Based on the Sugya in the beginning of Beitzah, should really come out the Maskana, that we should say Havdalah in between the first day and the second day. The Bnei Chutz Lorenz who are visiting in Eretz Yisrael, so that's a big machlokes, a ben chutz lorenz who visits. So Rabbi Yosef Kara writes in his Tshuvos and Afkas Reichel that during his lifetime it was a common. Beis Yosef lived in Tzfat. Originally he lived in Spain, and then his family ran away with the Spanish expulsion. And then the Jews ran away from Portugal because they ran to Portugal, then they expelled them from Portugal. So then that's when the Yishuv in Tzfat picked up after the Spanish, the late 1400, early 1500s. So Rabbi Yosef Kara writes, when he lived in Eretz, it was a pretty common occurrence to see Jews who lived in the Arab countries. They didn't come from Germany, they didn't come from America, but they came from the Arab countries that border Eretz. They used to come to Eretz Yisrael. And the common practice always was that they observed 2 days Yom Kippur, even though they were in Eretz Yisrael. And the one who came up with the idea that you should only observe those who are visiting, you should only observe 1 day, that was the Chacham Tzvi, who never walked in territory, so he always lived in Chutz Lorenz. He was floating around from one city to the other. He's a very strict rabbi, and the Balabatim couldn't take him, so wherever he went, they would fire him. He was too straight. He would always come down on the Balabatim. So that's a shaila, whether one who's visiting Eretz Yisrael should observe 1 day unto 2 days unto. For many generations, the practice was that the people observed, the tourists in Eretz Yisrael observed 2 days unto. But l'chor, it's a good recommendation that when they're davening in shul the second night, of Yontif, that in the shul, it's the first night Chol HaMoed, and Eretzom, and for the visitors, for the guests, it's the second of Yontif. In shul, they're going to say Havdalah. In every shul, they say Havdalah. So you really, the Bnei Chutz Lod should pay attention to the Havdalah, because according to some, according to one opinion in the Gemara, even in Chutz Lod, we should say Havdalah between the first day and the second day. We're not so sure why we don't do that. And in Eretz Yotze, also Machlekes, maybe they only have to observe the first day, maybe they don't observe the second day. So even though the practice is that most people follow the Shulchan Aruch, says you do observe 2 days Yantif, the Bnei Chutz Lod are visiting, but there's room to be machmed that you should listen to the Havdalah in between. So we say both Havdalah b'tefillah and Havdalah alakos. So that's what the Maharsha has on this, the Gemara in Brachas has the text of Atodiyenu. So the Maharsha interprets that that's what it means, Chagei Nedovim. We have, Klal Yisrael has volunteered Yantav Sheni Shal Gol. It's not a din deraisa, it's not a real sfeika deraisa l'chumra. It's either a minig or it's a din derabonim. Rashi learned that was the machlokes hamaroim in the first perek in Beitza before the days of Abai Verova, when there was yet no luach kavua, and there was what we call a real sfeika d'yoma. So even when it was a real sfeika d'yoma, it was never a real sfeika deraisa l'chumra. It was either a minig or a din derabonim. After the days of Abai V'Rav, that we have a Luach Kavua, and we know 1,000 years in advance what day of the week Rosh Chodesh Nisan is going to be and when Pesach is going to be. We have it all printed. We have all the Luchas printed from 1,000 years ago. So now the observance of Yom Tov Sheni is a Vaita Machlekes HaRishonim. Is it a Minig or is it only a Din D'Rabbanan? Tosis says from the fact that we say Brochas on the second night of Pesach, al achilas matzah, al achilas maror. So Tosfos proves from that you say a bracha when you fulfill a minig. When we recite Chatzi Halal on Rosh Chodesh, the Gemara says in the end of Tainus, that's only a minig. So the minig of the practice of the Balei Tosfos was that they would recite the bracha on Chatzi Halal on Rosh Chodesh, because they hold the Yom Tov Sheni is only a minig, and we say brachas. So you say a bracha when you observe a minig. And the Rambam writes that when you say Chatzi Halal on Rosh Chodesh, it's only a minig, one does not recite a bracha. The Gemara says, even on a mitzvah, the Rabbanon, like Hadlokas Neris Chanuk and Mikra Megillah, you also have Shekadoshana the mitzvah itself. The Gemara says, the Echan Tzivanu, it's only the Rabbanon. How can you say the Tzivanu? The Gemara says, you can say the Tzivanu. But on a minig, the Rambam learned to push up Shana Gemara. You cannot say a bracha on a minig. So how come you say a bracha on Yantav Sheni? So the Ramam Lishitasa holds that Yantav Sheni is a takana de Rabban. So that's a Deran. Deran is Masig on the Tosfos. Deran on Sukkah disagrees with that Tosfos. Where the Yantav Sheni Shel Goli is that we observe today, is it a minig or is it a real din de Rabban? Anyway, so that's the Maharsha learns. Chag Enidova means the Yamim Tevna Klal Yisrael has volunteered, and that's a reference to Yantav Sheni Shel Goli. Where Rav Soloveitchik used to give the Shir Maria, so he, whenever there was an Agadata, he would always discuss a little bit the Maharsha and the Chedusha Agadah. He didn't go so much for the Chedusha Halacha of the Maharsha, it's a totally different style of learning, but the Chedusha Agadah he would always discuss. So he thought that this one was not the Posh of Shat. He thought that that was a Pshetl. To say Chag Enedovim refers to the Amitavim, that the Jewish people have volunteered. It goes on Yom Tov Sheni Shel Goliath. He didn't think that there was Pashim Shah. So he suggested maybe means Chag Enedovim, that the din is that all of the Jewish men, all the Jewish men in Klal Yisrael are mechuyev to be oil regal Pesach Shavuos Sukkos. And the Gemara says in the first parak in Chagiga, Gimel Mitzvos, the Jewish people are obligated to observe 3 mitzvahs when they're oil regal. One is to bring oil asriya, one to bring shalmei chagiga, and to bring shalmei simcha. So the Mishnah has, the Mishnah at the end of the first perik in chagiga has, based on the pasuk ishke matnas yoda kevirkas Hashem alakach hashenas anloch, if a person can afford it, he should not only bring 1 chagiga. You should bring 10 chagigas. Yeah, but a chagiga you have to eat. And if you don't have enough guests to eat it, it'll become nifsal belina, it'll become pasul, it'll become nicer. So you shouldn't bring too many chagigas. You have to make sure that you're going to have enough people who are tohar will be able to eat it. What if a person can't afford? Chagiga is an animal, it's a fortune, it's an expensive proposition. So then the Gemara says, strictly speaking, you can get 1,000 people joined together, each one gives $0.50, and you'll buy yourself a behemoth for $500, and all 500 people, all 1,000 people will be yotzei. You can be yotzei b'shutfus also, but if a person is wealthy, and he has a big family, and he has a lot of guests, he can bring 10 chagigas, there's no limit. And all, it's all a hemshach. You yotze with one chagiga, even if it's b'shutfus, but another 1,000 people. But if you want, they can bring more than one chagiga. Yish kemat and siyot dekevirkas Hashem alakach Hashem asamo. The observation is thought that maybe that's the pshat chag and edova. We can volunteer more korbanas chagiga than the bare minimum. On the second night of Pesach this year, we're going to say Yak Nahas. Yak Nahas is a Rosh HaTevis that appears in the Gemara. And it stands for Yain Kiddush Ner Havdalah Zman, because we say both Kiddush and Havdalah, and you say Bar Miyari Ho'esh. Some of the old Haggadahs from Germany, so they used to have a diagram of a rabbit, because the word Haz in German means a rabbit, so the printer didn't know that Yak Nahas is a Rosh HaTevis. Yain Kiddush Ner Havdalah Zman. So he thought it has something to do with a rabbit, so he had someone draw a diagram of a rabbit. That's Leitzonis. That's a fact. A lot of the old Haggadahs have a rabbit on the page when it says Yak Nahas. So that's an obvious mistake. When we daven Shemona Esrei, the Yontem Shechol Yis B'Shabbos, there is a Machlekes B'Shama and B'Silo. How many brachas do you say? We always say the Gimel Rishonis, the first three brachas till the end of Akel HaKadosh, then the Gimel Achronis from Ritzei to the end of the Shemona Esrei. So then on the weekdays, you have 13 brachas in the middle. So the three in the beginning, three in the end is six, then the 13 in the middle is 19 brachas. It used to be 18, then they added V'lam Hashin, but it became 19. On Shabbos and Yom Tov, we leave out all the brachas and tzoyah, so we only say one bracha on the Kedusha Tzoyah. So B'Shamay are of the opinion that when it's Yom Tov, Shechol Yis B'Shabbos, you have to have two separate brachas in the middle. One bracha Mekadesh HaShabbos, then the next bracha, Atav HaTon, V'Titlon, Es Yom HaChaga HaMatzis HaZeh, Yalav V'Yovoy, V'Hasiyenu, and then you end up, V'Kadosh Yisrael V'Hazmanim. Say two different brachas on Kedusha Tzoyah. One bracha for Shabbos and one bracha for Yom Tov. We don't follow B'Shamay's opinion. That's a machlekes and maseches beitza in the second parak. Yom Tov Shechol Yis B'Shabbos, Arvish Chodesh Shechol Yis B'Shabbos, and Yedav and Musaf, so do you say one bracha for Kedusha Sayyam, both combined, that's Beis Hillel? That's how we pass God. Do you say two distinct brachas? But within Beis Hillel Shita, there's a further machlekes. Why did Beis Hillel say that you combine everything together? Is it because they hold in principle that they agree with Beis Shammai, that it's really two separate Kedushas Hayom? He really should have said two different brachas. But the Gemara in Maseches Brachas learns that from Psukim. The Gemara says the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah were the ones who composed all the tefillahs, and everything is... The Gemara says Anshei Knesset HaGedolah was a body of 120 Rabbanim, but Mehem Kama Nevi'im, and amongst them were several Nevi'im. What was the significance of having Nevi'im? So Rav Chaim Volozhiner writes, Rav Soloveitchik used to go, Rav Chaim Volozhiner writes in Nefesh HaChaim, you have to have a koyach hanevuah to be able to compose a nusach hatfilo that should make sense. Human beings are silly. And the Gemara says, Ne'imal gvoros Hashem yashmir kol tehilos. Who has the right to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Only Misha Yodeh Hashmir kol tehilos. He has to know what he's talking about. The Hamayin Am don't even know. The Gemara says, you're going to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The farmer doesn't know how to praise the king. He has no musag of wealth. So the farmer is a batlan. So he's going to say, the king is so rich, he has $100 in his bank account. $100, the pauper has $100. The king has millions, billions of dollars in his bank account. So we may praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We think that we're saying a Sheva. We don't know what they're talking about. So you have to have a koyach hanevuah to be able to compose a tefillah. Then he said, you have to have a koyach hanevuah to compose a tefillah, Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, with the beginning of the Baisheni period. That was 2,500 years, 2,500 years ago. That was a long time ago. They composed tefillahs that we still daven today, 2,500 years later. So for that, you need quite a Ruach HaKodesh. You need a Koach HaNevuah. So the Gemara says also, how many brachas you say, how many units do you have in the Amidah, in the, what we call the Shemana Esrei? So everything is based on Psukim. So there's a Pasuk that that you have a tefillah with seven units. The Gemara said that's on Shabbos and Yontov. We have a tefillah with seven units. According to Beis Shammai, when you have Yontov Shacholias b'Shabbos, you have eight units. The Gimel Rishon is Gimel Acharonit, and you have two brachas in the middle, one for Shabbos, Lushas Hayom of Shabbos, one for the Lushas Hayom of Yontov. So it could be that in principle they still really agree with Beis Shammai. You really should have said two brachas in the middle. But we have no Mokar in Tanakh that you have a right to compose such a tefillah that's going to have eight units. You have a tefillah with seven units. So that's why Beis Hillel felt that we have to kvetch together the two brachas on the Kedushas Hayom. It's not that much. The Gemara says, isn't it a violation of Ein Chosnim Bishnayim? You're combining two themes together. Let's say instead of davening the whole Shmoneh Esrei, the person will say, B'kitza, Baruch Atah Hashem, Chanein Hadoaz, Chanun Amar B'lesloyach, Rav Yecheli Amiso, he'll say one chasim on everything. The Gemara says, Ein Chosnim Bishnayim. You can't say Shem Malchus, and then you say all the 13 chasimas that you're going to have in the middle. You're not allowed to do that. Ein Chosnim Bishnayim. Each theme has to have its own bracha. So the Gemara says, this is not, even though we do like the Hillel, we combine together two different themes. Mara says, it's not such a difference, because this is Kedusha Shab, this is Kedusha Yantev. They're not so different, they're both about Kiddush, so it's not a violation of Ein Chosnim and Mishnayim.
So that's how one about Avineinu? Avineinu, we combine everything into one.
Yeah, I don't know. That was a Takana Sachachamim, that's a good question. I don't know. That was the Takana, that they composed the Nusach Kotzer of Avineinu. Yeah. So this is one opinion. And Rishonim, you have the two explanations. So some Rishonim say, really, B'Sil will agree with Beis Shammai, that you really should have said two brachas in the middle, the Yontov Shecholias B'Shabbos, but we have no Mokar in Tanakh, that you have a right to compose a tefillah with eight units. You only have a Mokar for seven units, and that's why Beis Hillel, the Echreach, combined together the two. Then another way, other Rishonim learn it slightly differently. They say, no, Yontev Shecholias B'Shabbos, the two Kedushas Hayom blend in to be one. So it's one big hyphenated Kedushas Hayom. So Beis Hillel are disagreeing fundamentally with Beis Shammai. It's not that you really should have said two different brachas for the two Kedushas Hayoms. It's one big, one different kind of Kedushas Hayom, Shabbos with Yontev together. So that's, so Rav Soloveitchik used to explain that that's the basis of the Shinui in the Schoes, in the middle of a Hasienu. We have again in parentheses that when Yontav Chalias B'Shabbos, we say Alkeinu Lekev Aseinu Ritzei B'Mnuchaseinu. Then we continue Katshenu B'Mitzvaseinu. Why do you add that Alkeinu Lekev Aseinu Ritzei B'Mnuchaseinu? So you want to demonstrate that really we should have said two brachas. We should have said B'Hasienu. We always Hasienu is always the beginning of the concluding paragraph on Yontav. Alkeinu Lekev Aseinu Ritzei B'Mnuchaseinu is always the beginning of the concluding paragraph on Shabbos. So Beis Shammai say, Taka say, two different brachas. Beis Hillel agree in principle, theoretically, they agree with Beis Shammai. You really should have said two different brachas, but you have no Mokar in Tanakh. So we say the beginning of both, we say the beginning of Hasienu, the beginning of Lakenu, Kavaseinu, Ritzei B'Nuchaseinu, then we blend them in together. So Rav Soloveitchik said, that's why the Siddur HaGrah leaves out this parenthesis, Lakenu, Ritzei B'Nuchaseinu. The Groh, that's how Rav Soloveitchik interpreted, the Groh was of the opinion that Beis Hillel disagree fundamentally with Beis Shammai. And it's not that the day has two unrelated Kedushas Hayom, two blend in together. So you don't have to demonstrate that you really would have wanted to have said both the Hasienu and Lekeinu Lekei Aviseinu. It's one big Kedushas Hayom, Shabbos Yontav hyphenated together. So another, that's why Rav Soloveitchik was very upset that Professor Birnbaum from the Jewish Theological Seminary put out his Machzorim. So he writes in the introduction to his Machzorim, he has adopted the Nusach of Rabbi Yankev Emden, because he decided that he thinks Rabbi Yankev Emden lived in Hamburg, and that's the Nusach of Hamburg. The Hamburg Nusach is that you say, Lekeinu, Lekei Aviseinu, Ritzei B'Mnuchaseinu. You say, Lekeinu, Lekei Aviseinu, even when it's Yontav Shechol Yis B'Chol, not a Yontav Shechol Yis B'Shabbos. Even Yontav Shechol Yis B'Chol. So Rav Soloveitchik was very upset because he didn't even say that line when it's Yontav Shechol Yis B'Shabbos. Forget about Yontav Shechol Yis B'Chol. So he was very upset. He said, who gave Professor Birnbaum the right to paskin for all of Klal Yisrael? How does he know to decide that that Nusach is better? There's another issue that's discussed a little bit in Shulchan Aruch. There are more. The dinim of the nusach hatfila appear in Hilchas Pesach, and they have it more baritas. And then when it comes to Shavuot and Rosh Hashanah and Kippur and Sukkot, they assume that you read what was written in Hilchas Pesach. So there are more quotes from the Maharil. When you daven the Shmona Esrei on the first night of Pesach, we're going to say the Shmona Esrei both for Shabbos and for Yom Tov. So we're going to say Yalav Yavai. So in the middle of Yavai Yavai, you say Chayin L'Chein L'Ches L'Rach L'Chayin L'Shonim V'Yom HaShabbos HaMaroach HaZeh U'B'Yom Chag HaMatzos HaZeh. You should mention Shabbos in Yalav Yavai, because in each one of the other paragraphs, you mention both Shabbos and Yom Tov. And then you say, you mention Shabbos and Yom Tov. And Yalav Yavai also, you should mention both. That's what the Maharil says. So the Maharil and the Chubas writes that this is only in the Shmona Esrei, but in the benching, when you say the Birchas Hamazon at the end of the first Seder, first you're going to say Ritzei, then you're going to say Yalav Yavai. When you say Yalav Yavai, you don't mention Shabbos. Why? Because we said Ritzei, and we're not going to come back to Shabbos anymore. So when you say Yalav Yavai, you just mention Yom Chag HaMatzos HaZeh. But in the Shmona Esrei, we are going to come back to Shabbos, because at the end of the bracha, V'asiyenu, going to say Mikadesh HaShabbos V'Yisrael V'Hazmanim. We're going to mention Shabbos again. So since we're not finished with Shabbos, and when you say Yalav Yavai, you should insert also a line about Shabbos. L'chein l'ches l'racham l'chein l'shon b'yam l'shabbos ha'manach hazeh b'yam chag ha'matzois hazeh. That's what the Maharil says. This is the meaning of the Baalei HaTosfos. This was the meaning of the Baalei HaTosfos, to insert Shabbos into the middle of Yalav Yavai in davening, but not to do so in benching, because benching, we already finished with Shabbos, and we're not going to go back. So if you look in the big Siddur, Oitzar Tfila Siddur, in the end of the second volume, they have Heoros by Rabbi Shai Berlin. He was a contemporary of the Nerd Yehuda. So he is bothered with Akasha, that the whole idea, the whole theme of the Tfila of Yalav Yavai is based on the Parsha in Parsha's Baha'loischa that says, V'yam simchas l'madech m'rosh l'chadshechem, v'skaitem l'chadzoitzes alo l'asech m'alziv chishalmechem, v'niskaitem l'fnei Hashem alakechem. So the whole Yalav Yavai zichron neinu, fikta neinu, is based on Tkiyas chadzoitzes, on Yom Tovim and Rosh Chodeshim, where it says, v'niskaitem l'fnei Hashem alakechem. So we don't have any more the Tkiyas chadzoitzes on the Karbonis. We don't have the Beis Hamikdash, we don't have the Misafim, so we don't have the Tkiyas Chatzotzes, but we should still say Yalav Yavai Zichroneinu. We should still have in Iskartim. So Rabbi Shai Berlin is bothered with Akasha, but on a regular Shabbos, it would appear from the Gemara, from the Mishnah in Erechim, and the Gemara, that they didn't blow Chatzotzes on a regular Shabbos. Only on Rosh Chodeshim and on Yomim Tovim. Not on Shabbos. But that's why we never say Yalav Yavai on Shabbos. Even when it's Yom Tov Shecholias B'Shabbos, why should we insert Yom HaShabbos HaMarach HaZeh in the middle of Yalav Yavai? Shabbos has no Shaychus to Vinizkartem. Yalav Yavai only has a Shaychus to the Rosh Chodesh and to the Yom Tov and not to Shabbos. So why do we mention, why was the old meaning of the Baalei HaTosfos that they mentioned Shabbos? So in the Yeshivas they say the Pashtus probably is, because the Maharil and the Baalei HaTosfos were of the opinion that Ratz Yom Tov Shecholias B'Shabbos, the two Kedushas blend in to be one and the same. It's one big hyphenated Kedusha of Shabbos hyphen Yom Tov. So we say not only is there a theme of Nizkartem Zichroneinu Fikdaneinu Mitzad the Yom Tov, it's Mitzad the Shabbos also, because the two Kedushas blend in to be one and the same. So that would depend on these two opinions. There, Rav Soloveitchik said, when you have Yom Tov Shecholias B'Shabbos, the two Kedushas blend in to be one or not. The Mishnah has a Machlokes B'Shama and B'Silo. When you say Kiddush or Havdalah, do you say first Bar Piagofen, then you say the Kiddush? That's our practice. We follow the Hillel. And under the Chuppah, you say Bar Piagofen, you say Birchas Erisen. Then you say Bar Piagofen, you recite Birchas Nisuin. When you have a Bris, you say Bar Piagofen, you say Akiyash Kiddush, you did Nibetan. And the one exception to the rule, Tosfos says, in brachos is when you recite Birchas HaMazon. You don't say Bar Pi HaGofen, when you bench Alakos, you don't say Bar Pi HaGofen first and then say the Birchas HaMazon, because Tosfos explains why. Because the Birchas HaMazon is a declaration of Siluk Sude, you finished eating. So if you're going to say Bar Pi HaGofen first and then say the Birchas HaMazon, then when you want to drink the kos afterwards, you have to say another Bar Pi HaGofen, because the Birchas HaMazon is a declaration of Hesach Hadas from eating any food. So it doesn't make sense to say Bar Pi HaGofen twice. So instead of saying before the benching, say the Bar Pi HaGofen after the benching. That's what Tosfos writes in Brachos. On Leil HaSeder, there are arba kaisis, and there's a machlekes in Shulchan Aruch. How many times do you say Bar Pi HaGofen? So the Mechaber writes the practice of the Sfardim. They only say Bar Pi HaGofen twice. On the first kos, Kiddush, and the second kos, Asher Gyalon, is covered with the Bar Pi HaGofen of the first kos. It's not such a long pause. It's not a Hesach Hadas between the first Bar Pi HaGofen and drinking of the second kos. So it's covered with the first Bar Pi HaGofen. Then the third kos is Birchas HaMazon. So because you benched, the benching is a declaration of Hesach Hadas from eating food. So when you want to drink the kos of Birchas HaMazon, you want to yotze bracha lakos if you drink some of the wine. So you have to drink the wine on the third kos. So you have to say Bar Pi HaGofen after the benching. Then the fourth kos is covered with the Bar Pi HaGofen of the third kos. That's how the Sfardim do. And Ashkenazim have the practice of the saying Bar Pi HaGofen on each one of the koses. So that's the shaila. On the second kos and on the fourth kos, our practice is that we say Bar Pi HaGofen after Asher Golan, Baruch Atah Hashem Goal Yisrael, then you say Bar Pi HaGofen after. Then on the fourth kos, the Ashkenazim say a bracha also, not like the Sfardim. They don't say Bar Pi HaGofen at all on the second and the fourth kos. Ashkenazim do. But we say the Bar Pi HaGofen after the Bichas Hashir, after Nishmas Kol Chai, Halelucha, and Yishtabach, after everything is all over, then we say Bar Pi HaGofen. So that's a question that the Rishonim raise in the Biurim on HaGod, that they give some kind of an answer, but it's very unclear what the answer is. The question is better than the answer. You get the impression as if the Ashkenazim took Haggadah and they realized we have to put in Bar Pi HaGofen another two times. So the printer stuck it in and he wasn't careful, as if he made a mistake. He should have put it in before Baruch Asher Galona, before the beginning of Birchas Hashir. So he stuck it in following Beshamai Shita, that you say first the Baruch HaLakos, and then first you say the Asher Gyalono, Gol Yisrael, and then you say Bar Pi HaGofen. But we don't follow Beisham, we follow Beisilum. So that's a problem. The Rishonim raised the issue, and they say something, but it's very unclear what they're driving at over there. Tosfos on Arvei Pesachim points out that when Pesach falls out on any other day except for Matzoi Shabbos, they used to bring a Chagiga on Yud Dalet. That's Chagigas Arba Osam. When the Chumash says, V'chagos Mosel Chag L'Hashem, you should bring a Korban Chagiga, that's what it means. It doesn't mean you should celebrate a holiday. Chagos Mosel Chag L'Hashem means you should bring a Korban Chagiga. So that Chagiga, you have to shecht and Chagiga on Yom Tov. You can't shecht on Erev Yom Tov. Chagigas Arba Osa that they brought every year, the Gemara said that's only Midirabbanan. Once you magdash it and you makrav it, it's a korban min haTorah, but the obligation to bring it is only Midirabbanan, and the reason why they introduced it is because of the Tosfos and Pesachim Daf Ayin and quotes the Yerushalmi, it's Gzeira Misham Shvira Asetzim. We're afraid some people are poor and you don't have flesh all year long. And once a year, they're going to eat lamb chops. So they're going to be so excited about eating a piece of flesh that they may nibble on the bones. They may chew the bone and violate the Isra of Etzim Leishishbrobo. It's a din that only applies to Korban Pesach. It doesn't apply to any other Korban, not to break an Etzim. So to prevent people from breaking, and the Korban Pesach has to be Bashnasa, has to be before the first birthday. Human beings are born every day of the year. There's no special season of the year when people are born. But animals are born in seasons. So the season for the animals to be born is around Nisan time. So they're very young. the kvasim and menaizim are very young. They're just barely 8 days old, and they're not, and the bones are not so strong yet. So it's very easy to, by mistake, chew into the bones and violate the isur of etzem l'asish brobo. But that's why they made a takana that we should bring a chagigas haba osur and eat that flesh first. And then after we're already half full, then we should eat the Korban Pesach, a Pesach Nechal ala sova. Why should you not eat the Korban Pesach litayoven, more litayoven, eat it at the beginning of the meal? We're afraid, Mishum Shvira Setzim. He says Shvira Setzim doesn't apply to the Chagigas HaBosah. We paskin l'alach. It only applies to the Korban Pesach. So if a Pesach falls out on Shabbos, so you can't bring the Chagigas HaBosah, so what are you going to do? You're going to bring a chagiga on Yud Gimel. So you can only eat it. So you can only eat it on Yud Gimel, the night of Yud Dalet and the daytime of Yud Dalet. Leil Pesach, you can't eat it. Leil Tazvav. So if our Pesach only is b'Shabbos, you don't bring a chagiga sabros because it's not derech Shabbos. You're going to bring a chagiga on Pesach. So that's why Tesis had in front of them. They had a minig that whenever Pesach is Chaliyas b'Matzoy Shabbos, like this year, the second day Pesach is Matzoy Shabbos. Whenever Pesach is on Matzoy Shabbos, then you don't say v'nechal sham min azvachim min apsachim. Nechal sham min azvachim min apsachim means we will eat the Chagigas Abasa first, and then we'll eat the Korban Pesach. But if it's our Pesach Chaliyas b'Shabbos, there isn't going to be any Chagigas Abasa. So we should say v'nechal sham min apsachim, we'll eat the Korban Pesach without a Chagigas HaBosa, and then a Chalamayit will bring on the first day Yom Tov. Afterwards, we'll bring the Korban Chagigah. So Tosfos doesn't like that practice. They say that that's a mistake. And a lot of the Haggadahs, it's printed like that. And when Pesach Chaliyas b'Matzoy Shabbos, you reverse the order. So they're saying, V'nechal Sham Min Azvachim Min Apsochim. He said the reverse, V'nechal Sham Min Apsochim Min Azvachim. Because the Chagigas HaBosah is not Derech HaShabbos. So Tosfos says that's a big mistake, because just because there are Pesach was Chaliyas b'Shabbos this year, we're talking about next year. Next year we should be saying, this year, if we don't have any Korban Pesach, we say, next year we should have, the Beis HaMikdash should be built and we should bring the Korban Pesach. And next year we'll need Menazvachim and Menapsachim. So just because it's Matzoy Shabbos this year, so who says that it's going to be Matzoy Shabbos next year? Maybe you should say like this, when you know in advance that next year Pesach is going to be on Matzoy Shabbos, then the year prior to that, you should reverse the order. So Taisa said that doesn't make sense either. Eliyahu Novi may come, Ashiach may come in between. Kiddush al Piyariya. So we won't follow the luach that's printed. Everything could be different next year. So Tosfos says it doesn't make sense to switch the nusach. He leaves the same nusach all the time. It just doesn't make sense to reverse the minhag.
Doesn't the Rosh bring down
a sheet
from Rishonim that you say in this case it's laila yom v'laila, not the yom v'laila v'yom? You can eat it the a laila and a yom and then a laila, so you get in your dalit.
No, Gemara has a Havamina like that, and the Gemara rejects it. The Gemara rejects that, yeah, that you don't say like that. That was a Havamina. Yeah. There is a Mishnah in the end of the third Perek in Maseches Tainus, and the days of the Tanaim, until recently, till around 50 years ago, there was a big problem of Atziris Gishomim. If it doesn't rain in Eretz Yisrael, it's going to be Gehak Tzoris. The vegetation can't grow without water, and the people and the animals have to have water to live. So years ago, there used to be Gezer Tainus. When there's not enough rain, there used to be Gezer Tainus. It was a very serious Safek Sakana. Now they know how to desalinate the water, so there's no longer any Sakonis Nefashis, but it'll be a big expense. It'll cost a lot of money. You have a lot of water in the Mediterranean, but it's all salty water, so that they can't plant anything with salty water. But they can desalinate the water. So now there's no longer a sakana. But the Mishnah has, in the days of the Tanaim, until recently, there was a big sakana. So the Mishnah has, what if the Bezdin was Gezer Tainus, and then the people are fasting, and then in the middle of the day, it starts to rain. So the prayers were answered. So can they break the fast, or they have to continue fasting till the end of the day? So the Mishnah says, it depends what time the rain came. If it came at a certain time, then they can break the fast. So it's a machlokes hatanaim, when the rain has to come before alos hashachar, or and you have to fast all day and all night, or no, if the rain comes before chatzos. So we paskin, if the rain comes before chatzos, that's considered as if they didn't begin to fast yet. The rain comes after chatzos, and since they began, so they should fast the whole rest of the day. So the Mishnah has there the end of the third parak in Tainus. If the rain came before chatzos, so everybody should go home and eat, and then after they finish benching, they should come back to shul, gather back together in shul, and they should be sight hallel. So the Gemara raises a question. Why does everybody go home and eat when it starts to rain? They should gather together in shul, say hallel for 15, 20 minutes, and then go home and eat. What's a big rush to eat? Gemara says, no, that's the correct way to go. Because enamim halal elal keres maleya benefesh seveya. The halal will sing better, the person will sing the halal better if he just ate a delicious meal. So Tosis there raises a question. How come on every yontif, on every Rosh Chodesh, we always say halal? We didn't have breakfast yet. A Chanukah, we say halal. We didn't eat before halal. Why don't you always insist that you should have an elaborate meal before you say halal? So Tosis gives an answer. It's very megumgum. The Tosis there in Tainus, I think it's Chavov and Aleph. The Lashon HaTosis is megumgum. What they seem to be driving at it is the following. So I'll give a bit of a hakdama. The Netziv, in his commentary on the Shiltas that he wrote as a teenager, quotes from the Chasam Sofer that reciting Halal on Chanukah is a chiyuv derais. So he says, he writes, Agoyim HaTzadik, HaChasam Sofer, he's going to disagree with him, so he has to be very respectful. So he says, Agoyim HaTzadik, HaChasam Sofer writes that reciting Halal on Chanukah is a chiyuv derais. He says, with all due respect, you can't say that. That's against the Gemara. The Gemara in Brachas has a discussion to what extent is one permitted to be mafsik in the middle of Kriyashma. So you can be mafsik b'mnei HaKovet, b'mnei HaYira, and you can be mafsik sometimes b'ein HaProkim and b'emtza HaPerik. In the middle of the paragraph of Shema, in the middle of the paragraph of Yoyim Shamaya, or b'ein Perik l'Perik. So the Gemara said there's more room to be mekel b'pnei ha'yira, there's more room to be mekel b'na prokim. So there's a machleg z'abnei Reb Yudah, what are the details? To what extent is one permitted to be mafsik in the middle of reciting kriyashma? And Tosis explains, how do you know you have a right? How do they all assume they have a right to be mafsik in the middle of kriyashma at all? That they're just debating the details? So Tosis learns, that's pshat in the drasha, the dibarta bum. The Dibarta Bam, Pashup Shad, means you should recite Kriyashma. But the Torah Shabbat Peh has an additional level of interpretation. With Dibarta Bam, you're permitted to talk in the middle of Kriyashma. That's the Heter. And the Tanaim had a machlekes, Lemisar HaKasav El Allah HaChamim. To what extent is it permissible? Only B'nai Yira, even B'nai HaKovid, only B'nai HaProkim, even B'nai HaPerik. So they worked out the details. That's Lemisar HaKasav El Allah HaChamim. So the Gemara has the comment with the Barta Bumbalay Bitfila. In the middle of the Shemana Esri, you're not allowed to be mafsik at all. You're not permitted to be mafsik at all. Even with the Yira and the Kovet. But in the middle of Kriyashma, you're permitted to be mafsik. So it's interesting. On Pesach night, we divide the halal in half. We say two chapters of halal before the meal, and then we say the rest of the halal after. All year long, you never do that. So, getting back again, that Gemara in Brochus, when the Gemara says you're permitted to be mafsik in the middle of Kriyashma, so the Gemara has a suffix. What about on Chanukah when you're reciting Hallel? You say Hallel Shalom on Chanukah. Is it a Kalvachayim? Madach Kriyashma is deraisa. And there's a heter to be mafsik in the middle of Kriyashma. So halal on Chanukah is only the Rabbanon, so you certainly have a heter to be mafsik from Pnei HaKovid, Pnei HaYira. Or maybe I should say no, even though the halal on Chanukah is only the Rabbanon, maybe it's more chomer than the reciting of Kriyashma. You shouldn't be mafsik, because Ala Hanukkah is for the purpose of Pisumin Isa. And if you talk in the middle, you're detracting from the Pisumin Isa. So the Gemara Paskins, it's the same din. Same din as Kriyashma. So the Netziv Tainus, how can the Chassam Sefer state? He writes in one of the Tshuvas, the Ala Hanukkah is the Raisa, it's against the Gemara. The Talmide HaChassam Sefer asked that Kasha also. And they defend the Chassam Sefer. We say hello on Hanukkah. We say a few pages in the Siddur, hello. So not all of that is deraisa. The Chassam Sefer says, reciting hello in principle is a din deraisa on Hanukkah. That you have to say four pages of hello. And I told you, it's with the first paragraph. So when you're going to be mapsik, ben aprokim, whatever, that's already going to be on the halal, on the part of halal that's only made the rabban. Because Menatoi not mechuyif to say something. That's how they defend the Chassam Sefer. But the Netziv is very upset about it. He thinks that is not correct. He thinks when Bnei Yisrael experienced Kriyas Yamsuf, they recited Oz Yosher. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu to incorporate Oz Yosher into the Chumash. Why? HaKadosh Baruch Hu approved it. Halal b'shas hanes, halal b'shas ha-Yeshua, that's a din deraisa. Halal that we say in Chanukah, that's not halal b'shas ha-Yeshua, that's halal zechel ha-nes. There was a nes, 2,500 years ago, there was a nes Chanukah, Bizman Bayesheni, there was a nes Chanukah over 2,000 years ago. So we still celebrate today in commemoration of the nes. So halal b'shas ha-nes, that's a din deraisa, that's learned out from the fact that the Chumash records Oz Yosher. Halal Zechel HaNes, that's only with the Rabbanah. What about Halal on Yontif? That's an expression of Simchas Yontif. So that's the Machlokes, the Rambam and the Bahag. The Rambam writes, the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvahs was based on the Bahag, and here and there he disagrees with the Halachas Gedolos. So the Halachas Gedolos included as one of the Taryag Mitzvahs that we should recite Halal on Yom Tovim. So the Rambam says there's no Pasuk in Chumash that you have to say Halal. Halal Yom Tovim is clearly only with the Rabbanon, and the Taryag Mitzvahs, Nemud Olam Moshe Mesinai, only goes on the Mitzvahs Menat Torah. You don't include in the Minyan Taryag Mitzvahs with the Rabbanon. So the Ramban there comes to defend the Bahag, and he says the Bahag, he thinks the Bahag is right. Halal Yom Tov is deraisa, and it's an expression of Simchas Yom Tov. The two parts to Simchas Yom Tov, there's eating and drinking and making merry, Simchas Aguf, and then there's Simchas HaNefesh. Zayam Asa Hashem Nagilam Nisbucha Boi. We rejoice with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Boi doesn't mean on the day. Zayam Boi. Boi means Nagilam Nisbucha Boch. We rejoice with the Rebbeinu Shalom. So we have Simchas HaGuf. We eat and we drink. Basa V'yayin. Then you have Simchas HaNefesh. We recite Halal. So Halal on Yontif, which is an expression of Simchas Yontif, that's a machlokes, the Rambam and the Bahag, whether that's the Raisa or the Rabban. The Rambam thinks it's only with the Rabbanon, and the Ramban defends the Bahag, and he interprets the whole Gemara in Erechin, Daf Yud Amud Beis, that the whole discussion there is about this mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov. So that's a machlokes, whether that's the Raisa or the Rabban. So the Rav Velvela Soloveitchik has in his Seif on the Rambam a beautiful essay where he explains the Rav Haigoin, that's quoted by the Ran on the Rif in Psochim. The Rishonim, Tosfos and Brochas and the Psochim and Arvei Psochim and other Rishonim discuss how come on Leil HaSeder we don't recite the Brocha on the Halo. So the Rav Haigoin gives an interesting answer. He says, Halo B'Shas HaYeshua, Halo B'Shas HaNes is supposed to be spontaneous. We're supposed to jump out of our skin, out of excitement. So if you're going to say a brocha, you commanded us that whenever you do a Yeshua, we have to say halal. So it takes away from the spontaneity. You want that it should be a spontaneous halal. So the halal on Pesach should dafka be b'li brocha. Halal on Chanukah, zechel ha-nes, that occurred so many years ago, that's zechel ha-nes. So you say a brocha. Halal on Simchas Yom Tov, HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructed us. But halal on Pesach night, that's supposed to be halal b'shas hanes. That's a halal deraisa. Why b'shas hanes? Because we say b'chol dor v'dor chayivadam liris esatzmo ki luhu yotzim in Mitzrayim achshav. The Rambam adds on the word achshav, as if he just left Mitzrayim now. So we say lefichach anachna chayovim lahalo. Since we feel as if we have the sensation as if we just left Mitzrayim, as if we just experienced the gula of Mitzrayim, so therefore we're mechuyev to recite halal. So the halal on Pesach night is really the halal deraisa that the Netziv spoke about. Halal b'shasanas, halal b'shasa Yeshua. So that's why everything on Pesach night in the halal is different. We recite the halal in two different parts. And we eat a meal before. We eat the whole meal. And the Balamor writes in Arve Psochim, he refers to that Gemara in Tainus, the end of the third parak, that halal, if it rains on the Yom HaTainus, and the Tainus was because there's no rain. So if it rains on the Yom HaTainus and the people are so excited, they should first go home and eat, and then go to gather together in Shul to say halal, because Erem Halal Keres Maleya V'Nefesh Seveya. So the Balamor says the Iker Halal on Pesach night is the long halal, the second part that you say after the meal. The whole Suda is the Suda Saidoya. We say a chapter or two before, Machlekes B'Sham Mesil, how many prokim of the halal do you say before the meal? We follow Mesil, you say two prokim before. To be kaveh, the Suda is the Suda Saidoya. And then at the end of the Suda Saidoya, then we say the halal. And we say the halal be yeshiva. Usually we say halal b'amida, and here the Rishonim, the Beis Yosef quotes the Rishonim. Halal Pesach night is recited be yeshiva. Why? It's part of the Sudas Hoidoya. And usually you don't recite halal b'alayla. The Mishnah says in Megillah, Davchav, Davish Mitzasa b'yom kosher kol hayom, Davish Mitzasa b'alayla kosher kol hayom. You're not supposed to say halal at night, supposed to say in the daytime. How come Pesach is different? So the Pashtus says, because this is a different kind of halal. This halal B'shas HaYeshua. Halal B'shas HaYeshua is supposed to be a spontaneous halal. You don't say a brach in advance. And you have the halal in conjunction with the whole Sudas HaDoya, because we're recognizing a HaKoros HaToyf HaKadosh Baruch Hu right now. So everything on the halal on Pesach night is different. It's a different kind. So halal is considered a halal B'shas HaYeshua. The Rishonim at the end of Psochim, the Rif, on the last page, the Rif didn't write anything on Menachos. All the dinim of Sfira Sama appear in Menachos. But the Rif has the last page on Psochim, he has a few dinim, a few lines about Sfira Sama. And there you have the Balamor and the Ravid, so they work on a question. Since we in Chutz Lords observe 2 days Yom Tov, you have to start counting Sfira Sama from the first day Chol HaMoed Pesach. So we should really have simultaneously, we should have two counts running. The first night of Sfira means by the second Seder, we should say Hayom Yamechad Ba'Emer. Then the first night, Chol HaMoed Ba'Yos, we should count two Sfiras. Hayom Ili Yamechad Ba'Emer, Hayom Shnei Yom Ba'Emer. Depending whether the first day Pesach was Yantav, or first day Pesach was Erev Yantav, and the second day Pesach was the first day Yantav. So that's a kasha that the Rishonim work on. Why don't we count Sfira Sa'imer with the Sfeika D'Yoma blended in? So the Balamor and the Ravid give answers, very lumdish answers. Why? So it's Yadua, the Dvar Avram, the last Rav in Kovna. He died in the Kovna ghetto before the Nazis had a chance to kill him. He died because the hygienic conditions were terrible. Many people died because the conditions were so bad. So he learned by Rab Chaim Soloveitchik. He was from the Beis Harav. He was a descendant of Rab Chaim Voloshin. He learned the Voloshin. And he quotes every so often. And his tshuvas, he quotes Rab Chaim. It's the new style of tshuvas, a different style, not the same as the old style of Knesset Yecheskel with so on. It's a very different style, the modern style of tshuvas. So he has a tshuva where he discusses this. So he has a suggestion. And Rav Shimon Shkop wrote his Shari Yosher, and he writes, he saw this answer in a sefer, forgot where the sefer is. He forgot it's a Dvar Avram from the Kovner Rav. So Rav Shimon Shkop talks about this question, why don't we count Sfira Sa'imer, Sveka D'Yoma? So he quotes, the Dvar Avram has this, he quotes the Gemara in the first parak in Bava Metzia. The Gemara says, when you're counting for Maisa Behema purposes, if a farmer has 10 animals were born in his herd, then he should gather them together in a corral and have them go through it one by one. and count from 1 to 10, and the 10th one, Hasir Yeh Kodesh Lashem, it's Maisa Behema. But what if there's some kind of a suffix about counting? Let's say one of those that was counted already runs back in, and you have 1,000 animals in the corral, and one of them is Potter because it already was Min HaMenuyim. Kofet Sechet Min HaMenuyim, one of them that was counted already, jumped back in, and all the Behemoths looked the same. You can't identify which is which. So Kulam Ptur, why are they all Potter? As the Gemara says, you have to count Asiri Yekodesh Lashem, Asiri Vade Vela, Asiri Sofik. If you have one sheep ran back in, that's Potter, and you have 1,000 sheep that are Chayed, it's not Batel Berayv, that's going to be Asiri Sofik. No such thing as being Mafrish Maisa Behema B'Sofik. So the Dvaram suggests maybe it's not a Vort and Maisa Behema, maybe it's a Din in counting. Even in counting Sphira also, if you're going to count, I'm not sure whether today is the second night or the third night. That person is not sure. He's going to count today. I lost track. Either today is the fifth or the sixth day. So you're not yet saying anything. If you're not sure what the sphere is, you're not yet saying. The Avram quotes the Magen Avram. If a person counts in Hebrew and he doesn't understand Hebrew, you're not yet saying. You have to know what you're talking about. So even if he knows what he's talking about, but he's not sure what is the correct day. Is it the 13th day or the 12th day of the Sphira? So you say you can't count Allah Sofik. So that's why they never introduced. See, it was never really a Sveik of the Yom. That's what we said from the Netziv. It was never a real Sveik of the Yom. Even when they observed, even when they did Kiddush HaChodesh of Piyaria, and that was what we call a real Sveik of the Yom, it was never a Sveik of the Reis of the Chumah, because Rav Shonim, they went Basar Rav, that Adar HaSamach L'Nisan is Chaser, and Elul is going to be Chaser. So it was never really a Sveik of the Reis of the Chumah. It was either a Din or Rabbanon or a Minik, but it was never a real Din. So that's what the Dvar Avram says, that if you're going to count the Sveik of the Yom, Misofik, so you'll kill the whole thing. So Rav Soloveitchik used to talk and learning a lot with the Dvar Avram. When Rav Soloveitchik was in from the family, because they're also descendants from the Beis Arav. When Rav Soloveitchik was in university in Berlin, so the Kovne Rav used to go to Potsdam for vacation in the 9 days. So Rav Soloveitchik always used to go travel there to talk to him and learning a lot. So when he heard this from the Dvar Avram, that the reason why you don't count Sveik of the Yoyma, Sphir Saima, because it'll kill the whole sphere. So Rav Soloveitchik asked him, what do you mean? So what about Bizmanchi Kitchla Piyaria, when there was a real Sveik of the Yoyma? So you mean they didn't count Sphira? There was a real Sveik of the Yoyma then. So he said that Rav Avram was stunned. So in the tshuva that he has printed, Rav Soloveitchik didn't know what it said in the Sefer. In the Sefer, he already, after Rav Soloveitchik asked him Nakasha, so when he prepared it for his tshuva, so he touched on that also. The answer, the pashtus of the answer probably is that it was never a real Sveik of the Yoyma. Like the Netziv said, they always had a right to go Basar Roiv. And the whole thing in the first place, the Yantav Shenesh, the whole thing in the first place was just a Chumra either mid Rabbanon or just a Minig. This year, for the second days of Pesach, we have to remember to make an Erev of Tavshilin in order to be allowed to cook food on Yantav for Shabbos. People say as a riddle, which bracha is only recited on a Wednesday or a Thursday? So the answer is supposed to be Erev Tavshilin, because if Yantav is either Thursday and Friday, or Yantav is Friday and Shabbos, so then you make the Erev Tavshilin either on Wednesday or Thursday, that's the only time. It's not really correct. You can make the Erev Tavshilin 3 weeks in advance also. There's no halacha has to be made dafka on Erev Yantav. You can make it way before. But the Gemara says that you need pas for tavshil. So the Taisus explains, you need, if you plan to bake bread, cake, or cookies, you have to have pas. If you plan to cook soup or flesh or chicken, vegetables, then you need tavshil. Let's say on Pesach, a lot of women, they don't eat gebrochs, they're not going to bake any cakes, they're not going to bake any matzahs, they're not going to bake anything hamotzi or mezoinis. So there isn't going to be any pas to speak of. See, then you don't need the pas. You only need the tafshil then. You only need the tafshil. But that's the meaning. You take pas for tafshil. Yeah. What do so people usually use? Usually use a matzah and a hard-boiled egg. That's the tapshil. So the Gemara says for the tapshil, for the erev tapshilin, you have to use something that's not too shchiach. If it's something that you have all the time, then it's not right to use it for erev tapshil. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Chayyadim has a taina. They eat eggs every day. A lot of people eat an egg every day. So it's so shchiach, so it's not proper to use it. So what should you use for the erev tapshil? What tapshil should you use? You should use gefilte fish. Use something that's miyuchad for Shabbos. And in fact, the Mishnah Berurah says, it's not right. A lot of people, they take a matzah, they have a box of matzahs that was baked a long time ago. I have matzahs that were baked last year. Tavshin Peyalim, I still have some shmura matzah, machine shmura from last year. So you take a matzah that was baked a year and a half ago, then you take a hard-boiled egg that happens to be it. You cooked many hard-boiled eggs. A week before Pesach, he cooked a lot of hard-boiled eggs. You got to take a hard-boiled egg. So the Mishnah Berurah writes that that's not proper. L'chatchila, he thinks it's more correct to have a pas v'tavshil that was cooked on Erev Yontif for Shabbos, and maybe even l'chatchila should have been cooked l'shem Erev Tavshilim. B'di'eved, if you made an Erev Tavshilim with some leftover food, you had some soup left over, you had a little gravy left over from some pot of flesh, and you have a kazayis, you have to have a minimum of a kazayis. There's no maximum. You can take a whole big tray of gefilte fish, use the whole thing. You don't have to use a little bit. So one should put away a tapshil that something... the Mishnah Berurah is not happy with the Chayyadim. He quotes the Rishonim say that you use a hard-boiled egg. So he thinks there's nothing wrong with a hard-boiled egg. But if one wants to be machmer for that Chayyadim's chumrah, so you can take a tray of gefilte fish that you plan to serve on Shabbos, or if you have flesh or chicken, take a whole tray. And even if you use some of it on the first day, Yontif, but you'll have leftover for Shabbos. So you'll have a lot left over. You have to have a kazayis left over when if you want the erev tavshilin to work. Yeah.
If you're not allowed to invite a goy for Yontif, but what about this year on Shabbos if you make an erev tavshilin? You'll have to invite a goy for Shabbos.
Yes.
Yeah. You're not going to cook, but this year you're making an erev tavshilin. So maybe I'll be Moisef on Friday because I know he's coming on Shabbos.
Yeah.
So it's still mutter or it's not?
I don't know. That's a good question. Rab Shlomo Kluger had a grandson by the name of Shlomo Kluger, named after the grandfather, who took over 1,000 tshuvas from his grandfather. The tshuvas are usually a few pages long, and he condensed them. He just took the one or two paragraphs that have the punchline. So he has a small sefer. He has Aleph Lecho Shlomo. Has over 1,000 tshuvas in one little sefer. And one of the tshuvas, he talks about inviting a nochri. He assumes that you're not permitted to invite a nochri for yontif, even if it's yontif shecholiyos b'shabbos. Even if it's yontif shecholiyos b'shabbos, you're not going to cook for anybody. The whole reason you're not allowed to invite a nochri, because there's shemayar b'bishvili, he may cook for the nochri. You're not even going to cook for the Yisrael, a yontif shecholiyos b'shabbos. Very strange. So he assumed that it was a gzeira mid the rabbanon, even when the reason, when the chashash doesn't apply, the gzeira still applies. I don't know. You're saying, what about this year?
If you're all well, not in like Israel, in Eretz Israel, where Shabbos is not Yom Tov this year, so they still have to make an Eretz of Shilin on Friday, but Shabbos will not be Yom Tov.
Yeah, if Shabbos is not Yontif, then you should be allowed to invite a Nochi, but you say Gzerish and Yarbe Bishvila on Yontif, on the day before. No. Gzerish and Yarbe Bishvila means the Nochri will be there and he'll ask for seconds. He'll ask for another bowl of soup. So then there's a Chashash and Yarbe Bishvila. You may forget, and you may cook the food. But when I don't think what goes there, you shouldn't invite a Nochri for Shabbos. Because he may be Marbe B'shil the day before. I don't think that's the Hashash. Yeah. Baruch Hashem, there's so many topics to discuss about the Pesach. Many, many more topics. So we should all be blessed with a healthy Pesach. We should all be zeichet to be mekabel l'kdusha sayem b'simcha l'kdusha. Everyone should have a good Yom Tov.
Thank you.
Yom Tov, Rabbi.
Yom Tov.
Yom Tov. Hakotim Kamer.
Amen.
Yeah.